HD Smartcast. You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Hey there, fashion lovers. Do you ever find yourself mindlessly scrolling through endless Get Ready With Me videos on YouTube or mindlessly adding to your online shopping cart? We've all been there. But have you ever stopped to think about the impact of our impulsive fashion habits? Most of these products are from fast fashion brands. It's all fun and games until we realize that the mechanized part of the textile industry puts millions of Indian handloom workers out of business, forcing them to live below the poverty line. But it doesn't have to be this way. It's time to question the impact of our fashion choices. Let's dive in. Welcome to A Circular Revolution, presented by Indian Youth Climate Network, a podcast that explores the innovative world of circular economy startups. This podcast is supported by European Union Resource Efficiency Initiative and UNICEF India. I'm your host, Ankita Bhava, in candid conversations with inspiring founders who are changing the game and making our future more sustainable. So, buckle up and get ready to join the loop as we dive deep into the world of circular economy. Well, in this episode, we have an incredible guest in the house who has been working tirelessly to promote circular solutions in the fashion industry. Anurag Jain is a researcher, strategist, and innovator who has spent 8 years of working across diverse sectors within the textile industry, launching game-changing solutions. So, are you ready to discover the innovative solutions and insights that can help transform the fashion industry for the better? I guess so. Let's welcome Anurag to the show. Hi, Anurag. How are you?
Hey, Ankita. I'm doing good. Thanks for asking.
It's a delight to have you here with us, Anurag. So before we dive into talking about your work in the sustainable fashion industry, there's something that I want to ask you first. So you have a fashion degree from NIFT, and then you went on to study strategic design and management. And, you know, you did not choose any of the common career paths that people with a fashion degree usually do. So was it something that just happened to you, or did you always have a passion for circular fashion?
Nope. So how it all started was just like every other kid from the 90s, I was supposed to do engineering. So I was supposed to do this IIT, AIEEE, all those exam preparations. And then NIFT was something that came in the picture because I love art. I used to draw, I used to sketch. And then I gave just NIFT entrance examination just for the sake of bunking my coaching classes. And I ended up getting a rank in NIFT, and rest, all my ranks in AIEEE was in lakhs. And then at that time, I had no option but to join NIFT. And after joining NIFT, after like attending college for a month, I just realized, oh, it's actually a big deal. But before that, it was just a matter of coincidence, because of which I ended up coming to NIFT. And that's how I guess that was a pivotal moment of my career when I started moving towards fashion. But as I started working in fashion industry, I realized fashion is not my forte when it comes to design, but I'm more on the managerial side. So it's basically mostly working towards my right side of the brain. And that's when I started getting into supply chain management, circularity, and all those things. But I haven't touched the design part of fashion since I realized I'm not good with that. I accepted that reality. So my first job after graduation from NIFT was in an export house, which is a garment manufacturing factory. And I was working there as a merchandiser. And that was 2014. And at the time, the concept of fast fashion was not taken as, oh, it's bad, or it was not too much in the news. But then I had a first-hand experience of seeing like how things happen the way it shouldn't be. The way like how workers were treated, how things were outsourced, how things get exploited. For instance, we used to work with a boutique brand who used to send endangered species leather hidden inside the jacket lining. And that's how we used to work with her. And then those things used to bother me a lot. It's like things are wrong. Like there are still like some policies, but the fashion brands are kind of getting out of it, finding a loophole and then working on it. And that's something I realized, okay, like these things needs to be changed. And pretty much why then I left my job and started working on circularity. So I guess those first-hand experiences, the thing that made me work on sustainable businesses and ethical practices.
Wow, so that's where the passion came from. So now before we dive into the world of circularity in fashion, let's just first clear the air on what sustainable fashion really means. I mean, it's a term that's thrown around a lot. And let's be honest, it can be very confusing. Some people think sustainable fashion means only wearing hemp clothing and never washing it, while others think it's just a fancy buzzword. So Anurag, can you help me understand what sustainable fashion really means and how it goes beyond just using eco-friendly materials?
So when we talk about eco-friendly materials or alternate materials, in fact, we have lots of options. We have hemp, as you said, we have jute, bamboo and whatnot. However, to bring it into the mainstream clothing industry and replacing it with cotton requires huge infrastructural deployment and capital, which requires 30 to 40 years to achieve. So the reality is the best option we have right now is cotton. And the concept of clothing came into existence because it can be washed to maintain hygiene. So even that circular option goes out of the window. Mm-hmm. So answering to your question of what sustainability means, so I would say, as you said, it's kind of the most overused term in the industry. But it is something for me, I just feel like the term circularity or sustainability comes from more conscience than practices. So it is more of a 360 degree approach of designing, producing and consuming clothes that takes into account the social, environmental and economic impacts of the fashion industry. And the core intention should be to minimize harm and maximize benefits of all stakeholders involved in the production as well as consumption of clothing.
Thanks for breaking it down so perfectly. I hope it becomes everyone's first choice. Anurag, you have been an advocate for the revival of traditional weaving techniques in the Indian handloom sector, and your work at Khaloom is a testament to that. While we all know that the textile industry in India has a very rich history, but it's no secret that there's a dark side to it too. So what's the current situation like in India, and how do you think we can support the livelihoods of handloom workers while also promoting sustainable fashion?
So I can tell you like how Khaloom came in the picture as well. So I grew up in the city called Muzaffarnagar, that's located in West UP, and that belt in India had a large number of handloom workers, and hence it was quite common to see handloom work happening in narrow lanes on like roadsides, and even the cut sound of the fabric getting woven in handloom is quite common to hear. And it's funny because I term it as white noise of middle-class Indian households from the 90s. But as we grew older, the sound of handloom diminished. We don't hear it anymore. And pretty much why, out of curiosity, I started the venture Khaloom with the idea of what happened to those handloom weavers, where they are and how we can bring them back. So when we started talking to handloom workers to begin the venture, we realized the situation is more grim than imagined. The handloom workers, with the craftsmanship of making intricate designs with the finest threads, are resolved to making mops for floor cleaning. And the whole purpose was to meet day's end. There was no pride. There was no intention. It was just something they can do so that they can have some money to earn bread. And then most of the charkhas, the Gandhi charkhas that were there back then, today they have been burned down to generate fire during winters. Like, it is disheartening to see something that was a symbol of self-reliance during our freedom struggle is now thrown out like this. And I think this is the only time when the fashion industry can intervene. Like, I don't see the art of handloom work getting passed on to the next generation unless we bring it back to the mainstream of clothing industry.
Correct.
That's where we want the fashion brands to step in and take the responsibility of supporting handloom.
It's amazing how you have managed to weave sustainability and social impact into the fabric of your business. And it's correct, handloom is more than just a profession in India. And by repurposing discarded materials, you are not only being eco-friendly, but also preserving the heritage of Indian handloom. But I'm sure the journey of empowering the beauty of Indian craft and bringing this sustainable fabric to the market must have come with its own set of challenges. So what were some of the obstacles you faced along the way? And how did people respond to your fabric? Was it readily accepted?
So in terms of obstacles, I guess the major reason of handmade clothing couldn't be able to enter the market was because of the higher price. And we tackled it by replacing the virgin cotton to recycled cotton. So let's say a virgin cotton, the price keeps on fluctuating, but it somewhere goes down like 200 to 300 kgs. And then we moved it to the recycled cotton and reduced the price to one third. Which means now, by reducing the price of the raw material, the price of the end product also significantly reduces, which means the spinners and weavers can earn higher margin, Plus, we can compete with the commercial fabrics that's made from the mills. So pretty much how we have placed ourselves in the market and we were able to compete. So the interest was quite high. We got interest, but then the limitation was, again, we were competing with mill-made fabric and we couldn't make that diverse designs or those diverse structures, which we are still exploring. But as a concept, as a fabric in itself, without any print or in it, without any design, it was very well accepted. And how it we also the entire supply chain, how we designed it was we reached out to the factories in Noida and collected the pure cotton waste that is left over in the cutting table. And then we took it to another town in UP called Amroha, which is another city which focuses mostly on textile waste management. And they converted those waste into fiber. From there, we went to those remote villages in Nali and Dhorala, again in West UP, where these women were from the households, and they were spinning yarn from that fiber. That fiber was then sent to weavers in Loni and Baghpat, and those weavers made the final fabric. So people assume it is a challenge when we work with so many stakeholders, when there are so many people involved. But trust me, it was a very efficient process. Like, we followed a decentralized model similar to the women cooperatives we have, like Amul and Lijjat Papad, where women worked from their home at their convenience and sold their yarn to the aggregator. It all worked out very well because there was a motivation within the community to do well. So it was not like we were pushing them, we were convincing them. We just told them that there's work and they got onboarded.
While we are on the topic of challenges, let's talk about Gramastha, which is your other venture, right? So what's the story behind that? When I was reading about it on the surface, I was intrigued by Gramastha's mission to empower cotton farmers and provide them with a sustainable livelihood. But my question is, how do you intend to achieve that? Can you share more about the specific ways in which the project accomplishes this goal?
So Gramastha started after I completed my master's from Parsons, and it was co-founded by a friend of mine, Karishma Doshi, and myself. The need of the venture came during COVID when we saw the massive migration of daily wage workers going from cities to thousands of kilometers to their respective villages. Since they couldn't pay rent, they couldn't buy food, even they can't take care of their health, which was the need of the hour. And that's when the concept of Gramastha came in place, which in Hindi means belonging to the village. And the idea was to create employment opportunities in villages so the people won't have to leave their family and move back to the metro cities to earn money. We started working with Parat Sangha village in Madhya Pradesh, where we worked with cotton farming communities in providing alternate sources of income through promoting seed paper and other paper mache products. So we got like 15 to 20 women onboarded who were working with us on making paper mache products, which again, we were selling it to the urban market. We eventually expanded to potters in Bhavnagar, Gujarat, and knitters in Almora, Uttarakhand. But instead of going luxury, we went for super economic and affordable products so that we can focus on quantities and bringing impact to as many artisans as possible. So that was the intention of starting Gramastha.
It sounds like the project has been a great success so far. So have you ever thought about taking this model to other villages? And I mean, is it possible to replicate this impact elsewhere? And if so, do you have any plans to scale up and expand Gramastha's reach in the future?
Of course. So we are looking for other villages. But while we started Gramastha, we just realized that there is a need of capacity building and not just placing the products made in rural India to urban market. So we are kind of pivoting a bit, and instead of just being an e-commerce platform, now we want to get into capacity building of the communities. So for instance, the cotton farming communities, now we are focusing on how to set up infrastructure for them so that they can spin the yarn of the cotton that they harvest within their own community. So by doing so, we are shortening the supply chain of clothing and making sure the farmers are getting significant profits from their produce. So now we are moving towards the capacity building part and seeing like how we can work around it.
Anurag, your work with Khaloom and Gramastha demonstrate a very strong commitment to sustainability and circularity in the agriculture and textile industry. And, you know, it's high time that these principles are not looked upon as just a passing trend, but rather a way forward for the industry as a whole. So, Anurag, enlighten us on how can circularity play a role in improving a worker's well-being and ensuring that tragedies like Rana Plaza are never repeated.
Yes. So I can give you like a brief of what happened when we say Rana Plaza incident.
Yes, please. Yes.
So 24th April of this year marked completion of a decade of Rana Plaza incident. So in 2013, a multi-storied garment manufacturing factory in Dhaka collapsed, taking the lives of more than thousands of workers. The reason quoted was faulty structure of the building, but it was a surprise to see that the workers in the factory were making clothes for the big fashion brands that we know of. Those workers died while manufacturing garments for those fashion brands, and yet none of them took any accountability for even a single life. And that is why we need circularity. So circular fashion can create more jobs and better working conditions for garment workers by extending the life of clothing through repair, resale, and rental models. Like, workers can be employed to repair and maintain clothing rather than being forced to work in unsafe and exploitative factories. It also leads to tracking the life cycle of clothing from production to disposal. And by doing so, stakeholders can identify areas where improvements need to be made and ensure that workers are treated fairly and ethically.
Anurag, as someone who has first-hand experience in implementing sustainable practices, where do you see the future of circularity in the clothing industry?
So I believe it's a three-step process. First, we need to achieve transparency within the supply chain. Based on that, we can talk about accountability. And in the end, then we expect to achieve circularity. It's not an overnight concept. And I really, really judge brands who talk about being circular without disclosing the entire material flow of the supply chain. If they're not telling how the t-shirt came into their shelves, who made it, who was the farmer, and still they claim to be circular, I really question from where those statements can come from. And in the future, I see that the brands will be compelled to be transparent, accountable, and circular, whether they want it or not. And with the technological advancement we have in India, where every second person is talking about things such as blockchain, IoT, and AI, it is very well possible to track how a piece of clothing ended up on the shelves of the retail stores from the cotton farm. And the brand who can avail these technologies and own up to making the operations ethical has a scope to survive in the market. The future is going to be very demanding. It's going to be very speculative and going to ask brands where the clothes came from. And the brands have to be ready for it.
So are there any sustainable fashion brands that you endorse?
So it's interesting. So for me, I usually have this idea of getting my own clothes made. I have there are trusts like Janapada Seva Trust. There are other entities who make fabrics for us. And I usually try to figure out how to get my clothes made. So that's how I usually function.
Circular fashion is on the rise, and it's not just a buzzword anymore. It's a movement that's changing the game for good. So Anurag, if you could give one piece of advice for people who want to be a part of this movement towards a better fashion industry, what would it be? And what innovations do you see as key to achieving this vision?
Yep. So I'll give you two advices. So firstly, it might sound bizarre, but when you buy a piece of clothing, you have all the rights in the world to question the conditions in which these clothes have been made. Ability to buy a piece of clothing from a shopping mall is a decision maker whether a child goes to a sweatshop to get exploited as a laborer or to go to a school where they can build a future. And that fact itself puts you in a valid position to inquire about the clothes and demand an answer. Even if you don't get an answer, you are creating a ripple effect that is good enough to throw the fashion brand owner sitting in ivory tower off their chair. I would also like the people from our country at least to go back to the 80s and 90s and reflect on how things were before fast fashion came into our lives. We never had something called retail therapy. I still feel it's a bizarre concept. Most of us grew up wearing clothes which were locally tailored. And it was once or twice in a year when we actually used to buy branded clothes, especially during Diwali. And it was not about being rich or poor. It was just how things used to happen. And coming back to today, we are consuming clothes which we don't even need. We might wear just once or twice in a lifetime. And until we leave that mindset and go back to the old days, no alternate material, no sustainable businesses, no policy, no regulation. Nothing can establish circularity in the clothing industry.
Before we wrap up, let's take a moment to imagine a world where we don't have to choose between fashion and sustainability, where we can express ourselves through our style without harming the planet or people who make our clothes. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Anurag, thank you so much for sharing your insights and passion with us. Thanks for being a true agent of change. And to all the listeners out there, it's up to us to make this vision a reality. We can all make a difference by becoming more mindful of our fashion choices and demanding more from the brands we support. Anurag, before I let you go, if anyone has any question for you or want to continue learning from you, please share with them where they can find you online.
Yeah, definitely. So you can find me on LinkedIn. My handle is AnuragJain23. And also I do write lots of articles about the fashion industry or even circularity in general. So you can check that out as well. And feel free to message me on LinkedIn if something piques your interest.
Great. Thank you so much. And remember, it's all about joining the loop for a better future for all of us. Thanks for listening. And remember to tune in next time for another fascinating conversation with a new sustainability innovator. Thank you, Anurag. Thanks for listening. And remember to tune in next time for another fascinating conversation with a new sustainability innovator. For more updates on a circular revolution, you can follow HT Smartcast and Indian Youth Climate Network on Instagram and LinkedIn. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se.
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.